Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Be a terrible tragedy.
Okay. So I had the wrong thing queued up. It happens. Welcome to Alive.
There must be some terrible tragedy going on somewhere.
Let's try this once again.
I want to thank Jeremy for that introduction. Give Jeremy a big round of applause. Everybody, please have a seat. Please have a seat. It is wonderful to be back in Delaware. Before I begin, obviously the world is watching reports of a downed passenger jet near the Russia-Ukraine border. And it looks like it may be a terrible tragedy. Right now we're working to determine whether there were American citizens on board. That is our first priority. And I've directed my national security team to stay in close contact with the Ukrainian government. The United States will offer any assistance we can to help determine what happened and why. And as a country, our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of the passengers, wherever they call home.
Yes, and right after that,
it looks like it may be a terrible tragedy. I want to thank Jeremy for that introduction. Give Jeremy a big round of applause.
Who is Jeremy? Who cares?
It is great to be in the state that gave us Joe Biden.
And that's pretty much the 40 seconds of acknowledgement, and then on to our sponsors. Thank you, Jeremy. Let's give Jeremy a round of applause. Woo! Who's Jeremy? But it must have been a great introduction. Speaking of introductions, Cliff, who are we and how do people decide they want to get a hold of us for if they decide they want to get a hold of us?
Well, we're the most important people here. That's the simple fact of it, because we are bringing you all of this, bringing you Jeremy and all the rest of them. But then we're going to touch with us. The thing to do is to call us at 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887, or go to Skype and look up on Skype and talk to us on Skype, because we'd be happy to work with you and talk to you, and it's free. That's the thing. You know, for some of you, that phone call at 646-721-9887 could cost you some money, could possibly. Now, it's interesting because the phones have changed so much. I mean, I'm old, and I remember the day when you make a phone call and, by God, you pay for it, no matter where it went to. And what are you doing?
Rotary dial.
Okay. Be aware that it doesn't sound like that on the radio. We won't ask. We'll go into what it sounds like. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. Give us a call and talk to us. And put us on track, because if you don't like what we're talking about, we'd be more than happy to change. I mean, it's quite possible that we're not at all echoing what people want to hear. So
that's right.
We'd like to know.
And coming up, too, is we haven't done this in a while, we're going to have a What the Heck Are They Thinking Award. So if you want to find out what that is, you're just going to have to listen to us. And if you're not listening to us, you're missing out on it totally. So there.
Well, I guess you are. Probably don't know it, though.
You probably don't know that you're missing out because you're not listening to us. But if you are listening to us, and never mind.
Well, if you did listen to us last week, you know that you're missing out on something really, really good. So get your butt over here and listen.
That's right. Right now. Do it now.
Yeah. Right now. That's simple as that. Okay. Anyway, What do we got to talk about? We've got all kinds of things to talk about. Before we get too carried away.
Well, let's do the what the heck and get that out of the way real quick. That'd be a good.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Because, like I said, we have not done that in a while, so we're going to do it right now.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, with what's been going on in the news recently, I think I'm going to change the name of the program from Caribbean Internet News Talk Radio to Let's Pick on the Obama Administration. And this week, we're going to pick on Michelle.
Okay.
Because Michelle, the self-appointed nutritionist, who, as far as I know, has no background in nutrition, who's offended many people in schools for her limited calorie count that they can only eat, has now decided to expand her nutritional power into the local grocery store because she wants you to shop more healthily. And so by doing that, she is coming up with a way to help how Americans eat with new nutritional guidelines, which as I'm scanning through here.
Well, as you're scanning through there, you'll find out that she doesn't like beets.
Beets?
Beets. Well, no, Michelle Obama doesn't like beets. Now, that's okay because I don't like beets either, but Michelle Obama has no reason and no she can't not like beets. I mean, because they're good for you. I don't like a lot of things that are good for me, so that's okay. I can be that kind of a whatever I am. But Michelle Obama has to like beets, and she doesn't. So everything she says is wrong.
She's got the beets. Anyways, actually, she doesn't have the beets. According to the Washington Free Beacon, reported on this attempt by the USDA using Michelle Obama's guidelines to, quote, nudge consumers on nutritional choices, in their 80-page report, the USDA said most Americans, including Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, otherwise known as SNAP participants, I love those little acronyms, do not purchase enough whole grains, dark green and orange vegetables, and purchase too many items with excess calories from fats and added sugar. The report continues that at the same time, the food retail environment is saturated with food marketing messages, including health and nutritional claims and information advertising promoting unhealthy foods, such as candies. Ooh. So anyways, they plan to nudge Americans to make healthier food choices includes, are you ready for this, Cliff?
Okay.
All right. Of course, if you're on public assistance, well, you know, okay, we have a little input here because we're kind of paying for it. You know, it's like the WIC program, which is a pain in the butt. If you've ever been in line behind somebody with a WIC card, you, after about a half hour, move to another line. Anyway, so the following points are a point-based system reward for healthy food choices for food stamps. Recipients redeemable for movie tickets. Woohoo!
Movie tickets.
Movie tickets, yes. And I wonder if they're going to take the movies too. You know, it probably how much Bambi can you?
Yeah, that's true.
Stomach, because then they'll probably be saying, "Well, this movie is too bad for your children, and therefore you can't go to it because the whoever is going to be the movie czar will probably say that you can't go watch the movie." Anyways. How about buy one, get one free deals for SNAP participants? Yeah, okay, maybe. Discount coupons for
SNAP. Okay, wait a minute. Who's going to pay for that?
Oh, you and me, of course.
Well, if you buy one, get one free, then somebody's paying for the free one.
Well, yeah, because, again, it's part of the food stamp program.
So
discount coupons for SNAP participants, okay. Yeah, discount coupons. Who pays for the discount? Well, in retail, the store pays for the discount, unless they're going to be subsidized by the government because it's a government program. Okay. So anyways, Continuing on, a USDA loyalty card.
Wow.
I'm loyal to the USDA. And
I don't understand all of this. Go ahead.
It gets better.
Oh.
Grocery store staff used to push the USDA nudging agenda by acting as ambassadors, steering people to the approved food choices.
They did?
That's part of the proposal. Oh. And you're going to love this one, Cliff. There's a program that she wants to do called My Cart Grocery Cart. What's that, you ask?
Okay, what's that?
It is a high-tech grocery cart, runs about $30,000 roughly, not for the individual cart, but for part of the program, which would help consumers know they have the appropriate amount of government-approved food choices. The color-coded cart would have sections with sensors installed to praise customers when they have a cart filled to its healthy threshold. The report cited the cost for changing to the high-tech grocery cart for Safeway, as an example, which has 1,335 stores nationwide, would be about $40 million. So I guess what this thing is going to do is that every time you put in, low-fat milk, something's going to come up, smile at you, I guess, and go, good consumer.
No, it's going to, every time you put in the appropriate thing, it's going to burp.
It's going to burp.
Yeah. And you're going to have all these carts belching as you go down the aisle.
Anyway, in addition to grocery stores would guide customers to healthier food choices, through the use of visual displays and other signage, including ceiling banners, refrigerators and freezer door clings, and shelf talkers, all grocery stores would be encouraged to create healthy aisles to make the government-approved food choices more prominent and to change these promotions frequently so the consumers don't get bored or ignore them.
Get bored? Hell, this would be absolutely annoying. Could you imagine what happens as you walk down the aisle? Your grocery cart is talking at you. Your grocery cart is saying, no, don't go here. Go over there. It's good stuff over there. And just everybody's grocery cart would be talking at once. They don't know. And consequently, this would be the most annoying store. I would never go to that store.
It's bad enough if you have a small mirage of children in your cart, and now your cart is now.
Oh, God, I can just see it now. I can put my kids in the cart, and they can talk back at the cart. They can yell at the cart. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that. And the cart's yelling back. Yes, you do. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Fights with your grocery cart.
Yes. But I love this thing about the government-approved foods. Yeah, that's one more step into your personal lives.
Well, I can see it happening.
Well, like I said, what is Michelle's qualifications for making these decisions? And
she has no qualifications whatsoever, and she's only got two more years to even talk about it, and then I hope she goes away because, you know, of course, who knows who we're going to get next in there as a, most of the, because we seem to always feel that we need to elect presidents who have a wife. I think we should start ignoring that and elect presidents who don't have a wife. Because then we don't have two people in there yelling at us.
Oh, but then that would destroy the whole image of the president standing in front of the White House with his loving wife and 14 children.
Oh, I can have 14 children. I don't care about that. Just don't, no wife.
No wife.
No wife.
Leave the wife at home. Well, we can get Clinton back.
Why? If we get Clinton, we're going to get the Mrs. Clinton.
Well, he can leave her at home.
No, she's going to be president.
Oh.
She'll leave him at home. That's what she's going to do. No, I heard something the other day out of her that I thought was really funny, because she keeps telling everybody, I don't intend to run for president. I'm not interested in being run for president. Somebody asked her something, and she says, well, I do prefer offices without corners. Deep Oval Office, you know.
Deep Oval Office. I got an office for her out in the field somewhere.
Okay. But I thought that was funny. I prefer offices without corners. That's pretty one way of putting it. And maybe she's smarter. I think that's a neat way of talking about it. And maybe she has more intelligence than I thought.
I like her original statement saying that she's not interested in running for president. I kind of like that one because, like I said before, even if I thought that she was the greatest choice, I wouldn't do it. In fact, to be honest with you, I would be very hesitant in electing anybody other than old school right now because I'm so tired of hearing that if you disagree with the president, you're either racist or sexist or something like that. You know, or hearing the attorney general whining that I get no respect because I'm black. No, you get no respect because you're an idiot.
Yeah, being black really has very little to do with it.
Yeah.
It has to do with whether you're dumb.
Exactly.
That has a lot to do with it, in fact. And that's a thing. I'd like to say we're beyond worrying about whether the person was black or white or yellow or green. But that's not true, right? If we elect somebody that's green, I don't know if I'm going to vote for them.
If we elect somebody that's green, I'm going to send them to the hospital.
Nah. We don't need that. It's okay. We're going to have somebody who's green. You know, maybe they're just green with envy or something.
Yeah. The sad thing about it is, you know, as we talk about the elections and tease about it a little bit, is that with everything that's going on in our country now and, you know, reading the news, listening to the arguments pro and con of everything, I think I'm starting to begin to understand why people are just not getting involved, including people in our Congress. It's almost like what can you do and why bother attitude. I mean, we got the U.S. government now secretly busing the illegal aliens to the interior of the country, and they're not even telling the governors that this is happening. And, you know, they're just showing up and saying, here, this is now your problem.
Well, that's true, and California got upset about it. It's okay, I think, because we're going to do something with them, and I don't think we need to send all of them back. We can get into this in a bit.
I don't have it up on my screen here, but there was a representative, we were talking off air, who's encouraging this because he thinks this is going to help cure the deficit.
Well, wait a minute, encouraging what?
Amnesty and the illegal aliens coming over here because you think that's going to be the cure.
Well, that's going to make the deficit worse. That's going to make things, we're going to be spending, you know, if you've got more people, you're going to spend more money on them. And if it was just them coming into the United States and spending their money to buy things and to do things, that's fine. But they're not coming in with any money. They're coming in broke. And they're looking for a job, and that's what they're here to do. And what they're going to do is take that job away from us. And so consequently, I don't necessarily want them here. But if we're going to put them in here, we're going to have to treat them and figure out how to do this and do it legitimately, because it's ridiculous to allow all these people into this country just because they want to come in. You've got to make some sort of an effort to let people in their country realize that they may not get here, may not get in here when they get here. I won't say it's a big farce because it's not, but make it a lot more difficult than it is.
Okay.
I mean,
I came up with a solution.
Okay.
I got a solution. Okay, like I've said before, that, you know, there's people that can't even tell you who the name of the current vice president is, but they can go back and tell you the scores for their favorite sports team back to the conception of the team. Okay, so, and especially like if you're dealing with Eugene here, we have the Oregon Ducks, which people get really overboard with them. And if you say anything bad about the Ducks, they will create a civil war, literally. So here's my solution. All these kids, all these people that are being bused to these old colleges and to schools and stuff, they're closed down in all these places. let's send them all to the football stadiums and set up tents, and now you can't play your games because you've got these people living in your stadium.
Well, that's fine. That's a fine idea, except that costs a huge amount of money. You've got to buy tents.
Yeah, but imagine the outrage. You know, we have the Ducks and Beavers game coming up. Unfortunately, we can't do it because we have taken our football stadium and turned it into housing.
Well, I think
we can house millions of people in some of these stadiums. You know, just pass out water bottles.
But they'll find a different place to play their ball game. That won't stop the ball game. They'll play it in downtown streets and lock them off and do it that way.
Oh, yeah, I can see the Ducks playing. And, yeah. Here comes a bus. Everybody to the side of the road.
Well, they'll block them off. They'll block the streets off. They'll have enough people watching the game that they can't drive in that area. They're not going to – first of all, they're not going to take the precious space that they have as a ball court or whatever you're going to call it, ball field. They're not going to use that up with something as stupid as people. I mean, you know, people don't count. The game counts. And consequently, they could do that. They could, if they could use that money. But there's more places to use that money.
I could see Phil Knight going, and we're up here in the booth up on the 14th floor downtown Eugene, and we're watching the Ducks getting ready to go against their opponent in the Civil War game, and starting out on 13th and Oak, it's
Well, it's absurd to think that they would give up their field for houses or something as insane as, you know, humanitarian things. They're not interested in humanitarian effects because they're only interested in ball games. Can you imagine how many people we could put up if we used all of the ball fields across the country? There's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of acres that are being wasted.
They're only
being used on days of games. You know, if they were like, you know, it's like churches. They're only used one day a week. And I think churches are a waste of time and a waste of money because you don't use them enough. Now, there are some churches that will have to grant it. That I know of, there are some churches who make an attempt at doing something every day, every single day, and usually it has something to do with helping people. And those churches I'm all for. But you walk by a Catholic church or something, you know, in the middle of the day, and there's nobody there. There's nobody around. Now,
here's the point. We got kind of a little chat going in the chat room, and welcome, by the way, everybody. There's a fence around the White House, but there's not a fence around the border of our country. So,
well,
is allowing and welcoming illegal immigrants into our country, which is our home. Let's take down the fence in the White House. Why should the White House be? In fact, I think it's racist. If you want to take it further, I think it's racist that there's a fence around the White House preventing just anybody from coming into the White House.
Well, that's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. A fence around the White House is for security. Security against individuals who are doing bad things. We don't have people coming into the country at the borders.
I'm sorry, I forgot that Jeb Bush said they're only coming here because of love. I forgot about all that. I'm sorry.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense to compare the fence around the White House with a fence around the country. First of all, a fence around the White House may be a mile. A fence around the country may be 2,000 miles. And that's going to be one reason why it can't be done. I'm going to have to look it up and see what the terrain and everything is in that area. You can't build a fence around the country. It's not around the country even.
Well, for that matter, why is there armed guards on top of the White House? I mean, everybody's coming here for love. Nobody's, you know, and besides that, Obama's never there anyway, so what's the point?
Well, that's true. He's not there. But I don't know. We do have a responsibility to to protect our leaders. And we do know that some people specifically go after our leaders. We have some of them that are dead because of it.
Well, okay, there's an oxymoron. First of all, you're putting Obama in the same sentence as leader. But what about the protection of you and me and the rest of these so-called Americans?
Well, to begin with, Obama is leading. He may not be doing it himself. He's telling other people to do it, and he's going along with them or whatever. I mean, let's just, for example, like this week, he did not go back, and he did not go to the border. He did not do this because he didn't need to. What good would it have done him to go to the border? What good would it have done him to go down there and stand around and look around? And he couldn't have done anything that he couldn't do when he went to any of these meetings that he went to when he was out there. He has people that are in direct communication with him at all times. You know, nowadays it's not hard to have a cell phone, not hard to have any kind of communications that can be immediate, can be instant. So he can do anything from anywhere he wants to and accomplish whatever he wants to do. So it didn't make any difference that he didn't go to the border. I was not for him going to the border. All that would be is another $200,000 airplane trip that he has to put up with. Because you think he's got to spend a lot of money to go to any city that he wants to go to. If you can imagine him going to the border, I mean, he'd really have to have protection then. And so consequently, it's not going to happen. And it's not necessary for him to be there. There's nothing that he can do there that he couldn't do somewhere else. You know, you're talking about 20 miles of crash stuff that's all over the place. It's a 20-mile area. He's not going to see it anyway except a little bit of it, and that isn't going to accomplish anything for him.
It's called being the representative and supporting. I mean, even just sending like Biden, who needs to do something besides chase golf balls. President goes plays golf and says fetch.
I don't know. I kind of happen to think Biden.
Well, let me ask you this then. Okay, like in the snippet that I played at the beginning of the program, which the president thinks that it may be a tragedy, After that, he went out to two Democratic fundraisers. He's always on a fundraiser. We're paying for him to go out on these fundraisers. What do we get out of the fundraisers that we're our taxpayers supporting? He's not doing that out of his pocket.
Well, no, you don't do it out of your pocket. You do it out of everybody else's pocket.
Right.
That's what the idea of a fundraiser is. But what is he fundraising for?
I don't know. I didn't look into it that deeply, but he's constantly going out to the Democratic
fundraisers. That's right. He's going out to Democratic fundraisers. He's going out. He's raising funds for the party that he's trying to support. The thing is, it's not doing him any good because but the thing, I don't mind him doing this. I don't mind him doing this at all. He's doing something at least constructive that way. Going to the border and standing around on the border and looking around at nothing, because you can go to the border in one place and go in and look at 1,000 little kids, none of which can speak to you because they don't speak English. Because, you know, I don't know if he speaks any other language or not, but I doubt it. But the thing is, I prefer him going where he's going. I prefer him doing something productive, whether it's productive for the Democrats or not. It's still productive, and going to the border wouldn't be.
Okay, well, according to the Washington Post, Obama has held 393 fundraisers in his 6 years of office.
Okay.
That's almost more time than he spends in the White House, and he definitely doesn't spend time doing his responsibility, like reading or meeting for his daily briefings. I mean, he's moved some of those towards the late evenings, if even that, and now he relies on news services.
Well, he doesn't. No. He doesn't rely on news sources. He has people who are talking to him at all times. He has people around him that are on the phone that are. He's not going to any of these places alone. He has a lot of people that are going with him, and he is completely in.
Now I got a phone and I got a pen.
That's right, and he can accomplish anything at any place. He doesn't have to be it's stuck at the border.
Here's a challenge for you. This question was brought up in the chat room. Name one positive thing that Obama has done for the country.
Well, I can't do that because I wouldn't have any of that. I mean, I got to have stuff written down in front of me. I got to have stuff what I can look at.
I can actually answer that.
Okay.
Okay. The one positive thing that Obama has done for the country is to prove in our faces is just how when we have somebody who is out of control, including our Congress and our system, what happens when our system doesn't work and that we need to fix it.
Well, see, I happen to disagree with you that our system doesn't work. I think our system does work and it is working. The fact that there are little places that it's got a hitch in its get along, that's neither here nor there because overall the system does work. And we've proven that for years and years and years. And it's not just the last week or two that it's screwed up. And so I believe that he has accomplished something there. And he does do things. He doesn't just completely ignore what's going on. And as far as I'm concerned, I personally have said this over and over again. I don't think he's smart enough to do all this by himself. He has people that are around him that do help him. He has people who have access to the information to deliver it to him, and then he can make a decision. Or half of the time, I don't think they even bother to tell him about the things that they are making decisions about. But they are at least, in most instances, people of reputed. I don't know how I'm going to say.
Well, I think what this is that this is a chess game, and it's been going on since 2008, and we're just the pawns in it. They had a plan from day one is getting in here, and because all this stuff that's going on, especially right now, is orchestrated. There's no way this is just coincidence. There's no way that this little soft invasion is happening just by circumstance. It is planned. Everything that has been happening right now, even the distribution of the people throughout the U.S., is planned.
I think you're out of your mind. I don't think it's planned at all. I don't think anybody can sit ahead and decide what to do. And nobody has the smarts to be able to plan all of this. You know, how do they decide when people are coming from South America to the United States? That's not a planned thing. That's something that just happens. And whether they're coming from Mexico or whether they're coming from South America, this is something that's happened lately. And I don't believe it's actually Obama that did it, although he's not done anything to stop it. But it was actually started way back when we started letting people into this country. When we gave amnesty to 10 million people? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have done that. And that was not him. He had nothing. I don't know if he was even born when that happened. I mean, the man is not that smart. I agree. But he has people around him that are that smart. And he uses their intelligence to accomplish things. Now, the only thing that hurts that philosophy is the fact that the people around him are around him because they have a tendency to believe in the way he does things or to believe in the kind of ideas that he has. So that sort of deters their goodness, shall we say, but it doesn't negate it at all. A lot of them are still interested in working for their country, working for the people of the United States. And consequently, we do have a lot of people working for us. It's not just, you know, if I was trying to think I was depending on Obama, I'd probably commit Harry Carey or something. But you aren't just living with Obamas, they say so. We've got a lot of good people in our government, believe it or not, that are there to help us.
Maybe, but one thing that you probably noticed is that, in the sense of sounding racist, is that has Obama ever appointed a white person to office? I mean, Eric Holder is black. Some of the other people are black. You know, we keep getting accused of being racist. But one question I have for you is what's going on in, and I'd be interested to see how the White House responds to this one, in Texas. Rick Perry is wanting to kind of follow through with what Arizona tried to do, and they're coming out and saying that we're going to do what Obama won't, you know, putting the words back in Obama's mouth, and they're actually going to send their National Guards to the borders and try to plug the hole there because the federal government won't do it. So I'm curious how they're going to react to that.
Who's they?
The federal government.
Oh. Well, in the first place, they're not going to react at all because it's a silly statement because he can't plug any hole. He doesn't have enough people. He'd have to send his entire population to try to plug his hole, and that's the population doesn't need to do everything. He doesn't have that much agreement with the entire population of Texas, so consequently, it's not going to accomplish anything. He can send people there, and he can, and you know, granted, I believe he should because it is his state. He should pay attention to what's happening in his state, but that, I don't believe Obama should do that. He has, you know, 50 other states to worry about, or 48 or whatever there are in this country now. And consequently, it isn't, Obama isn't going to accomplish anything by going there. He just isn't going to accomplish anything. He can accomplish more by going somewhere else or by doing his little fundraising things or whatever. If that's what he can do and he can do well, then get his butt out and do them. You know, not everybody can do that and accomplish something with it. Then he can. He isn't accomplishing very much. I don't think that he's going to accomplish enough to get Democrats elected on the next major election. I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Do you think that all this is going on just to get the Democratic vote?
Of course.
That they're willing, they're willing to sell out the country just to be reelected.
Okay, how are they selling out the country?
Part of the reason that they claim that they're encouraging all these illegals in here because they'll automatically become Democrats and vote for whatever Democrat because they'll be...
He's never said that. He's not saying that at all. There are people saying that that are putting words in his mouth or putting, you know, they're stupid, but he's not said that.
Well, no, I don't recall him saying that. Those exact words? No, I don't.
I don't think he's that stupid. I do think he's dumb. I do think he's pretty stupid and hasn't got a grasp on what's going on in reality, but he's not that dumb.
I don't know. Like I say, there's a reason. Nothing happens. Nothing happens unless somebody's going to benefit from it. That's the bottom line. They're not protecting the border. They're not turning these people away. They're not doing what they should be doing unless somebody's profiting from it.
Okay. I'm confused now. They. You're going to have to be more. Who's they?
Okay. Why would people sell out their country, you know, and grant amnesty to millions of people over here, for one thing, and encourage more people to come over if somebody wasn't going to profit from it? It's not just because of the goodness of our hearts.
That I will have to disagree. That I will have to disagree. There are many, 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 many Americans who have the thought that, you know, the goodness of their heart or whatever you want to call it, they are allowing this to happen. Because let's think about this as a logical move. If you take, you know, as these people come over, as 44 of them come over, stick them on a bus and send them back. Okay, first of all, I've seen television programs or heard reports of what happens to them when they go back. There's one instance they saw that 11 kids went back, were sent back to the place where they came from. And in I don't know, 6 weeks or something like that, 10 of them were dead. Because they're leaving for a reason. It's not to do with money. It has to do with their life. And we've got to do something about it. We've got people sitting down there on the border, watching the border and controlling the border, and we're spending huge amounts of money. Obama's asking for $3.7 billion right now for this thing so they can take care of it. But the thing is, I don't know if he's got it yet or not, but he's asked for it. And the thing is, you can't just send them back. That doesn't accomplish anything. Well, it does, I suppose, if you want to get down to it, if you have no heart at all.
We're not even sending people back that, you know, that have caused crimes. I mean, granted, coming over the border is a misdemeanor, but there have been people that have caused major crimes that have been released, not deported, and there's been people killed that have already been caught that should have been deported, that they were released. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of cases that have been reported inside the U.S. that would have never have happened if we had enforced the laws.
Well, now, there's a difference there between enforcing the laws and enforcing specific laws. If we would enforce all of our laws, and I mean all of the laws that we have, that we have already passed and we've already sat down and looked at and thought about and spent some time deciding what should be and what shouldn't be. I mean, hopefully, most of the laws in our country are not just spur-of-the-moment things. Oh, darn, I didn't like him. I'm going to make a law against him. You know, that's not the thing we do, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a few instances of that. But the thing is, the United States has basically sat down and thought about our laws and put our laws together with some consideration for what's going to happen, what has happened, and that sort of thing. Consequently, if we would responsibly enforce our laws as they sit, without even changing any of them, we could probably get rid of all of this problem. But we don't do it. We selectively decide what laws to work with and what laws to enforce and what laws not to. And you can't selectively do that. You have to, you know, they're there for a reason. And if you selectively decide what laws to enforce, then you've changed the laws entirely.
Well, there's still a law on the books here in Eugene that says if you're driving a car at night, somebody has to walk in front of you holding a lantern, and somebody has to walk behind you holding a lantern.
Then we're stupid, and we haven't rephrased that law. You know, that's another thing. We've got so many laws on the books, and we don't bother to take them off. Let's wake up and die right. Let's wake up and realize that there are sometimes you need to remove a law or change a law. You know, and we've got so many laws like that, in not just the Eugene, but other states and other cities. They made sense at one time, but they don't anymore.
Well, that's why using the process. And by the way, we've got 17 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. We're doing a shorter program today due to other things going on. What the proper way to do it is that you go in and you legislate and you go through the process to change the law first. You know, same thing like even the immigration laws. You go through and you change the laws first. You don't change the law because we're getting bombarded by a bunch of people. I mean, that's just like saying your house is being bombarded by a bunch of burglars all the time. We should make it legal for that person to come into your house now because we can't control them.
That's not true. We should change the laws because they're being bombarded. The simple fact, we've never had a situation, we've never had a time when this sort of thing was happening. And you change the laws with the seriousness of the situation.
So we let mob rule. So that's basically what it is. It's mob rule.
Well, I didn't say we had to change the laws to let them in.
Slick. And we're letting mob rule, and people that aren't even supposed to be here, we're letting them influence our country. And I don't know. We're just
We don't just turn it open. We sit that down and consider it, and we are doing that. About what to do to change the laws and how to change the laws and what the consequences of such will be. I mean, this is not going to last forever. If it does last forever, we don't have a country anymore.
That is the way it's going. I mean, first of all, like you said, you don't turn them back. Well, here's the thing. You may or may not turn them back. You process them or do whatever you do. You don't bus them to the interior of the states. You don't bring them in to a situation. Yeah, you may put some guards around, like, say, the college that you've set up temporarily for housing. But then what happens after that? How long do you keep them? What if you decide, like, you know, they're saying the money ran out and now we don't have money for guards, or they decide that they don't want to stick around that college that you set up as their temporary home, or somebody is saying, because the food isn't right, and we needed to, I mean, where does it stop? I mean, you should stop them at the entry point, close the door, so to speak, turn them around, not bring them more into your house.
Well, you're talking about turning them around, then. Consequently, you're not going to accomplish anything. You've got to, and you have to send them to another part of the country.
Why?
You have to, because you can't turn them around. They're going to come back again. We're just going to have a continuous.
Arrest them.
What good is that? What are you going to do with them? You can't arrest somebody if you don't have any place to put them.
We've got we have a jail that in here in Oregon. I don't know what how big capacity is. We built it, and then ran out of funds to actually staff it, so it never got used.
All right, that's importing them into the interior of the country.
That may be
them
into the interior of the country, but the point is that we've got areas.
Well, you said we couldn't do that.
No, we can't do
that. We have to do that. We have to do that.
We don't have to do anything. That's the whole point.
Yes, we do. It is imperative that we do something. What are we? If we don't do anything, we're going to have 50,000 of them, as we do, sitting on the border, and then they're going to be hungry, and they're going to want something.
And
you know,
okay, you give them a care package. If they decide to cross that line, you know, I hate to say it, if they decide to cross that line, you cross international borders, you're facing a gun. This is our country.
Well, now we're going to kill them.
If you decide to go into another country, unauthorized, any other country you do that, they'll shoot your ass.
Not really. There are other countries.
It's like that one sergeant that he's over 108 days in prison just because he made a wrong turn.
Okay. He didn't get shot.
No, he didn't get shot, but he's been in prison. He's tortured. He's not living in even just a temporary holding area where, you know, they're giving him, you know, 3 squares a day or whatever. It's not a luxury hotel for him.
So you think we should take 50,000 kids and torture them and put them in a prison?
Well, the difference between those kids and this sergeant is the fact that the sergeant went there accidentally. He did not purposely go to Mexico. These kids are purposely coming over here. They think that as soon as they get over here and come on this side of the border, they're going to automatically become citizens, that we're not going to deport them. And Obama recently came out in a news report, and I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, stating that he's going to be using his authority to kind of push amnesty.
Well, we've already determined that Obama doesn't know what he's doing.
Now, the fact that he doesn't know what he's doing, this is why we have the House, the Congress, and the Senate. It's supposed to be, everybody's up there. Primary role is to protect the United States. We don't care right now that whether they're talking about same-sex marriage or abortion or whatever crap that's going on up in there. Their primary function is the well-being and the protection of the citizens of the United States, period. And right now, with millions of people coming across the border, most recently, you know, by thousands, is not protecting the United States. In fact, they're welcoming them.
Well,
he's not doing his job, and neither is Congress, for that matter.
It's damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Well, that's just the thing, and here's the sad part. Part of things I'm reading now on these news, and part of it you can tell just by, if you read carefully, you can tell how biased some of these people that are reporting are. They're having the protesters, for example, that are protesting the anti-immigration thing, or the anti-amnesty thing. You know, they're coming out in small numbers, but you don't really hear a lot of the events being publicly or widely promoted. And because I think people are just kind of just going, what can we do? We keep telling our government to enforce the laws, and they're refusing to do it. But what can you and I do? I mean, like you said before, we can sit here and we can whine on our little radio station and, you know, yeah, we're reaching out to the world. But unless people get out and hold these our government representatives accountable, I mean, if you go to any website, even a pro-amnesty website, just read the comments. Everybody's against this. But yet they're trying to say, oh, it's a humanitarian thing. Just like your argument. We can't turn them back. Why? Why is it our response?
Because it doesn't accomplish anything to turn them back. They come right back again. That's why we can't turn them back.
And like I say, a couple things you can do. We have the technology. You know, they come in. Number one thing we're going to do, we're going to chip you. So if you come back, and that way we can track you. And if you come back, as the law says, you reenter the country after being deported. It went from a misdemeanor to a felony.
And then what do you do?
They decide they want to come back, knowing again the consequences. You know, do you put them in jail?
You don't have jails to put them in.
Then we'll build some damn jails.
No, you don't. You can. That means we're going to have across the entire border, we're going to have thousands of big, huge buildings with little places in. We got people in there, and we're feeding them, we're clothing them, and we're taking care of them, and we have no possibility of sending them back or anywhere else. At least by letting them come into the country, a lot of them will come into the country and go to the different families that they want to go to, or maybe they're old enough or see, one thing I think we're making a mistake is defining these kids as children. I agree, everybody below 11 or 12 years old, I can define as children. But above that, in other countries, they're not. They're old enough to know for themselves what they're doing and while they're doing it. And they could be turned loose in somewhere in the interior with a situation to start their own community and start their own thing. I mean, we've got to think of outside of the box and come up with different ideas as to what to do with these kids. And turning them back is not an answer. It's just absolutely not an answer because they're going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And you can't say, okay, you come back again and I'll put you in jail. That isn't going to accomplish anything. When you've got 500,000 people down there, where are you going to get the jails? When you've got 5 million people down there, where are you going to get the jails?
Then I'm sorry, then you got to start getting tough because, like I said, it's not just children coming across. We've got the M13 government or Mexican gangs coming. We got who knows what's coming across that border. Like you said, if they want to come through the front door, we have a system for that.
No, we don't.
It gets to, yeah, we do. It's called.
No, we don't. For 5,000 of them.
Well, who cares about 5,000? Like I said, we have a right as a sovereign nation to say nobody's allowed over here. In fact, that's even been suggested that we should cut it off, period, until we get this thing under control. It is our choice to allow anybody to come over here.
Then what do you do?
Well, first of all,
you say, no, you can't come here. We're saying, no, you can't come here now.
Once you stop the source, then you can deal with the situation of the interior. You can try and get some control over it. Right now, it's totally out of control. In fact,
you can't stop the source.
I was talking to a coworker the other day. He's from Haiti. It took him 15 years to get over here and several thousand dollars. He had to go through a whole lot of stuff. And I asked him, well, how do you feel about what's going on in here? And he says he's totally appalled. He says his visa's coming up for renewal pretty soon, and he's going to have to jump through the hoops through all that. And he says it's really frustrating that he's having to do all this when he sees other people that are just coming in through the window, and they're not having to deal with any of this stuff at all. All they have to do is fake a Social Security card and hope you don't get caught and fake name or whatever you want to do, and because nobody checks the I-9 forms or very seldom. We don't enforce E-Verify.
Well,
this is a total slap.
If we started again, you're back to the point. If we start, enforcing our laws as they are,
right, and you got to start for it. Number one, you got to cut off the source. And
you can't cut off the source.
If you get there's enough people out there. Like we used to have the Minutemen. That was a private citizen thing that used to help the Border Patrol out there. If there was, you know. Like in Texas, for example, you got the Rangers out there that can patrol. You can deputize people. You can put them through the training. You can get out there. You can do something. Otherwise, we're just going to lay over.
So what are you going to do? You're going to stop them at the border. In other words, they're going to be sleeping on this line on the border.
So what? That's their choice. That's their choice.
Sooner or later, there's going to be more of them than there are of you.
Then we have a thing called a military.
We've got the... And even if we put our military down there, we've got the whole world coming at us. This is not just one country.
Are they dead?
What?
We roll over and play dead because these people decided to bomb.
We find something to do about it. We don't go out and just...
We do.
And
we bring them into the interior and house them?
Whatever we find to do about it.
Okay, so we've got all these millions of people, like we already have now, 11 to 20 million people in here. We're bringing in an estimated already 56,000 kids with an estimated 130,000 total for the end of the year. We bring all these people in here, and then what? And more people keep coming in because they know that, all they have to do is just make it over here, and we'll just invite them in.
Well, somehow or another, we've integrated 11 million of them that are sitting here, and they're getting along fine. Some of them may not be, of course, but the majority of that 11 million are employed, are doing something, are accomplishing something, and are not making a problem. So why do we have to stop now?
Why do we have to stop now?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we don't have enough room. It's not like we don't have whole states with almost nobody in them.
That's not the point. The point is that at what point, number one, we have a choice. This is the bottom line, whether the world likes it or not. We have a choice of who we allow into this country. We need to know who's coming into this country. We've already seen people that are coming in here. They're bringing back diseases that were eradicated a long time ago, for one. We have a choice of how we run our country, not the rest of the world.
At this point, we're not really doing a good choice. We're not really having a choice. It's something, you know, our choice is going to have to be to make sure that the people that come here are how do I want to say, they're made aware of our rules, our laws, and how we...
They don't care. They're violating our rules and laws. Their very first action by coming over here and not going through the process. Sure, maybe we can streamline the process or whatever, but like I said, bottom line is we don't have to let anybody over here.
Yes, we do. You can't stop them.
We don't have to let anybody over here.
We can't stop them. We are already seeing that we can't stop them. Here they are. They're here. They're on the border. They're coming across the border. And we can't stop them. And if we try to stop them at that little area there with a line in or a bridge or a fence or whatever, they're going to come around the sides. It's the thing that we've done that's stupid is we've let everybody in the world know that they can come here.
Right.
And it's too late now. We've got to live with that now. We've got to decide at this point now what to do with them to make sure that they don't keep coming here. We've got to change things, and this is not going to happen overnight, like it or not. It's going to take a long time, and we're going to spend a lot of money. So we haven't done that, and we're going to have to start doing that. But we've got to make it a little more, I don't want to say, humane. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care. We'll shoot every one of them that's across the border. I don't care. But then you're going to have to figure out what to do with the bodies. You know, there's huge, we're talking about huge numbers of people here. We're not just talking about a couple. And we're talking about 100,000, 200,000 people a year. Yeah. And it's not going to stop.
We're out of time here. We'll pick this up next week, and we'll see how things are going. Again, thanks, everybody, for checking us out in the chat room, and we'll catch you again next Saturday, 14 Pacific time.
Just remember, you're wrong.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.